As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This episode is brought to you by Iams Pet Food. When you choose Iams dry dog or cat food, you can see a difference in your pet with your own eyes. Healthy energy in 5 days, healthy digestion in 10 days, and healthy skin and coat in just 25 days. Satisfaction for you and them. Guaranteed or your money back. Feed Iams dry dog or cat food and see a visible difference. Visit Iams.com/difference to learn more.
Oh my God, you guys are my favorite.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen.
I know what I'm talking about. That's the headline.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Brian Weber.
OMG.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
It's another hour of the program, and it's great to have you with us coast to coast. We're live on this Thanksgiving Day. I appreciate you, dare I say, carving out part of the holiday to spend it with us. 844-204-7424, the number to call. Although I try my best to have about 4.5 hours of content that I got to cram into this 3-hour bag because I'm not back with you tomorrow. So we move quickly. If you like this act, here's the good news. I'll be back the week of Christmas. If you're not a fan, I also have something else I can hand you. Do you want door number one or door number two? I'm not with you tomorrow. Rich and the fellas enjoying the long holiday weekend. Back with the Emmy-nominated simulcast on Monday. We're tracking what's going on at Ford Field. Game one of the triple header, because this day belongs to football. Solid start for the Lions, although, if you glance at the scoreboard, which I'll give you verbally, 3-0 Detroit in front of Chicago, you might say, okay, it's competitive. And for the Lions, they have been crushing their opponents in recent weeks. I realize that was not the case in Indy, although they continued the trend defensively, just showing so much tenacity on that side of the football, even though they don't have Aiden Hutchinson, and to a lesser degree, linebacker Alex Anzalone. 3 straight weeks in which the Lions have not allowed a single point in the second half. 4 minutes and change remaining in the opening quarter. Lions had a long drive that yielded the field goal to get us to the 3-0 score that we presently have. Bears not doing much offensively. Detroit's got the football at midfield. We'll keep you posted. Another efficient start for Jared Goff, 6 of 9. And as we enter into the MVP chat, why is Jared Goff not getting at least consideration? I understand the argument against sounds like this. He has a premier 1-2 ground attack with Montgomery and Gibbs. He's got a defense that is somehow finding a way to stay together despite the injuries and, in fact, become a strength this year. Top 5 in scoring defense opposed to all the big chunk plays they gave up last year. I think because Goff is so unassuming, it is a knee-jerk reaction to say, well, he's just minding the store. But that's half the job. And the issue for Goff when he played for the Rams here in Southern California, as I come to you from Los Angeles, where it is 75 and sunny, projected, traffic and weather together, on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. Goff was susceptible to too many turnovers in high-leverage situations. In Detroit, they're not asking him to do too much, and he is, quote-unquote, doing his job. So I'm not saying give him the MVP. He's had a couple games with close to a perfect passer rating. I think he had one, in fact, where he hit that bizarre arcane number. But if you're going through the reasons why the Lions are the most complete team in all of football, have the best odds to win the Super Bowl, it's got to be Goff in the top three. But more to the point, it speaks to, I know how cliched and hackneyed it sounds, this team gets it done with a team concept. And in any sport, you got to believe in the guy next to you, especially in football, with the brutality that comes on a game-in and game-out basis. Coming up in 40 minutes after that soliloquy on a big holiday edition with the words that are polysyllabic on the program, gave you a long sermon about why I am not supportive of the 12-team playoff. I realize I am yelling to myself. I won't do it anymore because I've already knocked the system on tilt a few times. I get it that not only am I in the vast minority, if I don't like this 12-team playoff, how am I going to feel when we go to 16, 18, and beyond? And that's coming within 2 years. At a minimum, they're going to 16 as the contract winds down and a new deal will be in place for the 2026 season. I'll get the expert opinion of someone who covers college football for a living. It's Chris Vanini of The Athletic. That's coming up at 40 past. In less than 20 minutes, Aaron Rodgers keeps talking. I'm not going to go long form on what he has said this week, but because the comments are so juicy and at the same time so outlandish, they do merit conversation. That is coming up as we move along here in the second hour. Hit me up on the aforementioned X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Mention Saquon Barkley, mostly in a dialogue about how much separation would you put between the Lions and the Eagles in the NFC? Just think about how weird the NFL is, and it is the best reality show, but you hear it's a week-to-week league. Now it just feels like with the rapid acceleration of changes across the NFL, it's a quarter-to-quarter league. But not too long ago, go back to late September, and I'm going to talk about coaches in trouble coming up. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. You can slide in at 844-204-7424. Final hour of the program, we take you across the NFL with my pal Nick Ferguson, the former NFL safety, now based in Denver, playing for the Broncos, Texans, and Jets. And we will preview the most appealing of the three games, in my opinion, Dolphins and Packers, with all the playoff implications for both teams. Red zone chance now for the Lions. They're inside the Bear 15-yard line, looking to build on their 3-0 lead with a minute left in the first. I'll let you know how this drive plays out. The Eagles, as recently as 2 months ago, were left for dead by a lot of pundits who primarily were looking to hammer Nick Sirianni. Now, Nick has given all of us way too much material to use, and I don't have to play all the hits, but how about taunting his own fans at a home game in Philadelphia? You insane, man? And look, he understands where he's based and what city he's coaching in. How in the world did he think that was going to fly? It wasn't Jacksonville. You could try that in Shad Khan land if you're not too busy with Chris Jericho. And I hear a lot of Bill Belichick to Jacksonville, and I can understand the dots being connected because let's just tell it like it is. Belichick's going to take any job that's offered him because he got completely shut out in the last coaching cycle. Now, if I'm going to be totally upfront with you, I just want him off my TV. I think he says nothing. I think it is unbelievably hypocritical that a guy who chose to mumble and belittle the media, and I use that word with intentionality, he chose to, because now we hear him chopping it up with Eli and Peyton. He can actually speak in articulate sentences. And I know the motivation. He's so maniacal with his prep work and time management. Somewhere along the way, he thought, if I give these clowns, in his opinion, nothing, I can walk away from this podium 4 minutes earlier than the allotted time, and I'm back in the film room breaking it down like a mad scientist. But now, this guy has more media jobs than I do, and I'm a courtesan. I'll come to your house and do play-by-play of your uncle carving up the bird, if the number's right. End of the first quarter in Detroit. It's going to be a first and goal for the Lions at the Bears 3 when the second quarter kicks in. Detroit in front of Chicago 3-0. I'll keep you posted. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen, and I'm giving you the score because I know a lot of you are on the road heading to your holiday destination. I remember years ago, and I also enjoy multitasking, I was doing this bit, and I had a boss who said, why don't you just tell them to turn off the talk show and go to the game? And I said, well, sir, many people have already done that because I'm the guest host, but I think you can, hopefully, do multiple things at the same time. That's where we're at as a society. So keep your eye on the road. Enjoy the talk show, and I'll let you know what's going on in the game with periodic updates of moments of significance. But Belichick to Jacksonville, to me, is just laughable because, remember, he needs a good chunk of victories to move past Don Shula's record for regular season wins. Now, the Belichick honk out there are saying, wait a minute, throw in playoff wins, and he's, what, 13-14 behind. You know how long it would take Bill Belichick, especially if he has input in player personnel, to win 14 games in Jacksonville? The Khan family seems like a nice bunch. I wish I was in the will for Shad Khan. What an amazing American success story. Came to this nation and invented the composite that led to the modern bumper. Since I'm caught up in how old I am on the holiday, getting nostalgic, not too long ago, about 25 years ago, if you ding somebody, it's going to cost you grand with the old bumpers. Shad and his business partners, the chemist, got in the lab and came up with a modern bumper. He gets a royalty on every bumper sold. Good work if you can get it. Still, he's such a nice guy, he allows dysfunction to surround that organization. If you care about wrestling, it's the same situation in AEW. Touchdown, Jared Goff. I'm going to move him up a spot in my MVP candidacy. Hooking up with LaPorta, 3-yard touchdown. If you care about the fantasy implications, point after pending, it's about to be 10-0 Lions, making early statement over the Bears. Early stages, second quarter. So Belichick to Jacksonville is just laughable to me. Remember Belichick to Philadelphia when we were on the Nick Sirianni watch. Now, obviously, any competent coach would run to Philadelphia to have the ability to work with one of the sharpest minds in all of sports and Howie Roseman, who every year finds a gem in the draft and then fleeces his counterparts when it comes to trade possibilities. And that roster, if we're talking about the Lions having the most complete team in all of football, Philly, I think just a smidge behind them, especially now that defense has showed up. You saw the physicality they play with when they hammered the Rams in their last game on Sunday Night Football. And we got a gift from not only the football gods, but the wise schedule makers at the NFL office to give us Philadelphia and Baltimore coming up on Sunday. MVP, resume tape, more of it for Saquon, who's on pace to rush for better than 2,000 yards. Derrick Henry showing how foolish Jerry Jones was not even to entertain the notion of signing Derrick. And I know why you wouldn't once you get in that 29, 30, 31 range. Although for the Giants, it was, what, 27 with Saquon. I guess once you're over 24, it's a version of Logan's Run for running backs, which has been debunked again this year. Think about the impact of Saquon changing everything in Philadelphia. Josh Jacobs balling out with 3 touchdowns for the Packers. We'll see him again tonight. Those 3 touchdowns coming last week in the blowout win over the battered 49ers. And talked about what Henry means to Baltimore, who's on pace to have one of the most prolific offensive seasons we've ever seen. Still, Saquon to me has, I think, the consolation prize of offensive player of the year in his grasp. And if you don't track the award season that close, I can't blame you. largely made up. It's become a made-for-TV event because the NFL monetizes everything with NFL Honors the night before the Super Bowl, or now a Thursday because they want to own Thursdays like it was Seinfeld back in the day. The way you appease everybody, especially a running back trying to win an MVP award, remember, no running backs won it since Adrian Peterson came back from the torn ACL, had over 2,000 yards in 2012 before that. LT at the height of his power with the Bolts in 2006. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The MVP award is a quarterback-only award. Barkley certainly deserves major consideration, but he's not going to win. And I get it. If you want to get into the semantics, the V means something, right? Value. Who has been more valuable than Barkley? The counter-argument would be Philadelphia already had a ton of talent. Yes, he has been the straw stirring that marvelous drink, but he's also benefited from a terrific offensive line, even without Jason Kelce, but still a good unit up front. He's got a top 10 quarterback in Jalen Hurts. They have playmakers all over the depth chart of wide receiver and Brown and Smith, and a front line defense that'll punch you in the face. So I'm not undercutting Saquon, and I have no life. I looked up the MVP odds this morning. It's my job, after all. He's currently third behind Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. If you care about my opinion, I think Josh Allen's going to win it for a couple reasons. Lamar has already won it twice, and voters, I think, have a higher standard. When you go back-to-back, it's really got to be superhuman and transcendent. Not that Lamar has failed to be any of those things. And you saw him, again, look so sharp in primetime in Monday's Harbaugh Bowl here in L.A. But I think the issue for Saquon is not going to be votes against him. And I do think that Jalen Hurts will get some votes along the lines of Jared Goff being a mid, quote-unquote, mid-level, not a mid-player, mid-level MVP candidate, as Goff is playing crisply to start this game. 7 of 10, 64 yards, and the touchdown, with the Lions pitching a shutout so far. 10-0 lead over the Bears a couple minutes into the second quarter. I'll keep you posted. Josh Allen, unless Buffalo implodes down the stretch, wins for two reasons, in my estimation. Remember, the massive changes Buffalo went through on both sides of the ball in the offseason, especially in the defensive secondary. Let's not overlook making the decision to trade Stephon Diggs, and I have no issue with Houston going all in. They could not have projected that Diggs would get hurt. You could have had issues with his personality and demanding the football, as every playmaking wide receiver does and should. But for the massive roster overhaul that Buffalo went through, expectations were they would take a step back. Allen also would win it, I think, in terms of an early career, not even 30 yet, Lifetime Achievement Award based on body of work, and he has that seminal play on the fourth down call against the Chiefs sprinting into the end zone. So I don't think Saquon wins, but in no way is this an anti-Saquon argument, and it reminds us of how much things can change in the NFL based on just one or two moves. To amplify that point, what about the value of coaching? We're seeing it in this game in different directions. Dan Campbell putting his imprint on the Lions, changing everything after decades of futility. Matt Eberflus continues to seem overmatched if things don't change, and it's only couple minutes into the second quarter, but it's been the Lions dictating the terms. If things trend the way they have to start the game, Detroit, with the ability now to win 10 in the row, if they can win this game, it'll be six straight if Chicago doesn't rally. Eberflus feels like dead man walking, and that also brings into focus one of the key components of game number two coming up in Dallas. And Jerry Jones at this point, and it's just become so repetitive, but there's a degree of sadness I have, and I'm not doing a bit. I have some empathy here, and I'm not being ageist. I just turned 55 myself. I will be filling in for Rich when I'm Jerry Jones's age, if he'll have me. I'm going to work and live a long time. I'll pass away alone because I married the job, but I made a business decision. Jerry Jones just seems like a foolish old man now. And again, this is not derived solely by his age, because he has seemed foolish for a long time, primarily with his disastrous football personnel decisions, because his ego says he has to be the GM. There's a reason why Dallas hasn't won anything of significance for the better part of three decades. But to go on the radio this week, a reminder, for all of his failings, and there are many, especially come playoff time, Mike McCarthy has stacked 12-win seasons in Dallas. He has a legitimate body of work in the regular season. Jerry Jones would never extend him. Last year, clearly should have fired him after that debacle at home against the Packers. Another postseason catastrophe for Dallas and Mike McCarthy. But to go on the radio after that miracle win in Washington, in which the Commanders handed that game six different ways to the Cowboys, for Jerry to go on the radio with nonsense that he's open to extending Mike McCarthy, who he's allowed to twist in the wind as a lame duck coach, is just a farce. It is such a waste of time and speaks to, I think, unfortunately, a man slowly losing grip with reality who only cares about hearing the sound of his own voice. And I plead guilty to that as well, but I don't own a football team. I've not destroyed one of the most important brands in sports globally. But here's Dallas at 4-7 against the Giants, who have become even more irrelevant. And good for Daniel Jones to have an opportunity to jumpstart his career in Minnesota. Never should have been taken that high in the draft, but Dave Gettleman didn't know what he was doing. But it seems very clear, if we're talking about changes, Mike Stedman walking, and we knew that heading into the season. Don't give me the alibi, he doesn't have Dak. What did they do before Dak got hurt? Same story I now believe for Brian Daboll. John Merrick can say whatever he wants about, I intend on bringing everybody back. That team is an embarrassment. And we'll get back to the coaching thoughts coming up in the final hour of the program, and we'll connect it to our next topic. How attractive is the Dallas job? Do you buy Dion as a legitimate candidate there? I do not for a moment think just because he's recruiting well, somehow that foreshadows him staying in Colorado. I think Dion is very self-aware, knows this is the top of the market, especially with Ahsan Shador and Travis Hunter moving on to the NFL. I think there's a real possibility Dion joins them, and Dion obviously angling for Dallas as his destination. How good, though, of a job would the Cowboys be? How much of a difference could one man make in the limited capacity he has? And what an odd statement that is, but I'm saying that specifically because when you're the head coach of the Cowboys, you have to defer to a fool. And you know that when you walk in that door and you make that trade-off because of that brand and because of the opportunity, but you know you have no chance because a blithering idiot is making the key decisions. We'll talk more about the coaching scenarios coming up. No change at Ford Field. Lions maintaining their early momentum. You got a 10-0 lead over the Bears 12 minutes ago in the first half. We'll keep you posted in 20 minutes. Back to the college football. Always a pleasure to chat with Chris Vanini of The Athletic. Straight ahead, another team looking for a coach. Oh, my goodness. And again, I'll tread lightly. I am aware that Rich Eisen still bleeds green, but we're talking J-E-T-S. What a mess. Spinning it forward. Will Aaron Rodgers be home for the holidays next year? All that and more coming up. I appreciate you spending time with us. We're live on this Thanksgiving. Hit me up on the X platform. B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people. There's a reason why Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Because in the NFL, there's no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. And science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. Imagine what it can do for you. I know about it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers of different, but it really does make the difference. We can adjust our side of the bed the way that we want and get the perfect quality sleep that we need to be more ourselves. in work, around the kids. It's awesome. Get ready and get yourself to a Sleep Number store. If you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store, and why not? It's awesome. Again, there's a reason why it's the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Take it from me. You'll love Sleep Number. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ryan Weber, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. The Lions are manhandling the Bears, and they set the tone early with an impressive drive. Only led to a field goal, but it hasn't slowed them down. That was backed up by a Jared Goff to Sam Laporta touchdown to get us to 10-0. That's where we stand. Lions on top of the Bears. Lions knocking on the door again with 9 minutes to go in the first half. A first and goal coming up at the Chicago 4. We'll keep you posted. We'll go with brevity here for two reasons. I think we have reached the point of Aaron Rodgers' exhaustion, although he has said so many outlandish things as recently as a couple days ago, there's a need to address them. And then secondly, as importantly, coming up in less than 15 minutes, we continue the college football conversation heading into a monster weekend across the nation, looking forward to our latest conversation with Chris Vanini of The Athletic. We were talking about coaching situations, and I get at this point, fair to say, we should not have blamed Robert Saleh. Now, I understand the Jets felt the need to do something, anything, and they backed it up by whacking Joe Douglas as well, and that was a kick in the stick because Joe, like Mike McCarthy, a lame duck position. His contract was up at the end of the season, but owner Woody Johnson is trying his best to signal to his fan base, who, and I'm a recovering New Yorker, so I speak from experience, is always expecting the worst. When Aaron Rodgers signed with the Jets, I spoke to a friend who still cares about gangrene so passionately, and he lives here in Southern California like I do. He flies to MetLife Stadium for a handful of home games, and he sells the tickets to the ones he doesn't want to go to finance the trips that he does take. And when I said, hey, you finally have a quarterback last year. This was prior to Aaron Rodgers only playing 4 snaps before he snapped his Achilles in the season opener. I said, hey, you've been waiting for a quarterback since what? Chad Pennington? I mean, my favorite exercise was always, pop quiz, hot shot, name the second best quarterback in the history of the Jets after Broadway Joe Namath. And you would hear ideas like Dave O'Brien, Browning Nagel, Mark Sanchez did play in back-to-back AFC title games, but that got erased because of the butt fumble. So it's been a minute since the Jets had a quarterback, and he said to me, as someone who was invested decades into the Jets, Yeah, but it's a jet situation. We'll find a way to screw it up. And here we are a year later, and they've become so atrocious that it's easy now just to overlook what a train wreck it's been in New York City. Even for the Jets, this is rock bottom. So now the conversation hinges on the future of Aaron Rodgers, who I think in many ways is a victim, and I'm not going to get into conspiracy thoughts, I'm just talking football here, is a victim of two things. His own arrogance, and I'll explain that momentarily. The Lions add a field goal after they couldn't punch it in inside the five. They extend the lead now over the Bears to 13-0 with 7 minutes to go in the first half. I'll keep you updated. So all Detroit, not a surprise given the different direction those division rivals were moving heading into the first of three games on this Thanksgiving holiday. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. Hit me up on X, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. In 10 minutes, we talk college football with Chris Vanini of The Athletic. Rodgers done in by his own arrogance, and then secondarily, Tom Brady changing our expectations for quarterbacks aging and getting closer to 40 years old. Because not too long ago, if you said a quarterback, 39, 40, 41, the image that would come to mind if you're someone who likes sports history, and you can throw it in your Google machine if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're thinking about George Blanda, who looked like he was 700 years old. Nobody played that long in the NFL, but Brady, because of his maniacal focus and not having a carb in 15 years, and perhaps the pharmacology provided by Alex Guerrero, changed the landscape for all quarterbacks. But people who thought that Rodgers was going to play at the MVP level that he displayed earlier in his career in Green Bay weren't paying attention. Because prior to the Achilles freak injury, do you remember how poorly Aaron Rodgers played at the end of his run in Green Bay? Now you go to New York with the dysfunction of the Jets. The thing I cannot understand, other than it's the Jets, forget it, Jake, it's Chinatown. This was a defense that won 7 games last year after Rodgers went down. With Mike White and Zach Wilson under center, where did the defense go? And all the talk about Breece Hall giving them a legitimate ground game and picking up Davante Adams, because the Jets have no self-esteem. They do whatever Aaron Rodgers says until now. But even the Jets realize Aaron Rodgers is the problem. And I got back to hubris. Look at Aaron's body. And I'm not saying you got to go Lou Ferrigno on me, but does he reflect somebody who's putting the time in the gym? And now he's having the traditional injuries that come with getting older, especially when you play quarterback in the NFL. So it's twofold. It's the Jets, which explains most of their problems. Secondly, Rodgers, I think, was trying to speak it into existence. Hey, man, I'm Aaron Rodgers. Plug and play. You put me in there, and we're going to the Super Bowl. Have you watched him play this year? He's the problem, in addition to the systemic issues that have plagued this team for way too long. What happens next? Now Rodgers, of course, because he's got the platform of going on the Pat McAfee show and making 6 figures to do it, gives us a word salad. A couple weeks ago, oh yeah, I'd like to come back. Now I haven't even given thought if I'm going to play another year. But if I do, it's the Jets. How in the world would the Jets take him back? Other than they're the Jets. And maybe Woody Johnson says to the new incoming coach and GM. And of course, it's Mike Tannenbaum, the former disastrous GM, now involved as a consultant. That's why you're hearing Rex Ryan and Eric Mangini as candidates. Even the Mangini is smart enough to moonwalk away from that because he's stealing money in broadcasting. But how could a reasonable head coach, other than he just wants the job and it's the Jets after all, say, yes, I will put my hand up. I can fix Aaron Rodgers. Let's bring him back next year. 40, 41. Let's get old together. So Rodgers will have an opportunity if he wants to play because he's Aaron Rodgers. And you can look around the league at all of the hideous quarterback situations And now this becomes, I mentioned George Blanda, this is Johnny Unitas stumbling around in San Diego wearing the powder blue of the Chargers. Or Joe Namath playing for the LA Rams. We've seen this movie before. This is the traditional end game for marquee quarterbacks. That's why Brady was such a unicorn, but he distorted not only our expectations as football fans, I think Rodgers' personal view of himself. But Aaron's not Tom Brady. And years ago, 5 years ago, I would have told you, and I said it, filling in for Rich, Aaron Rodgers was the most skilled quarterback of my lifetime, followed in a small differential, followed by John Elway. But you got to do the work. And even though you have all that talent, you have to evolve as a football player. And he's stuck running the same gimmicky offense that he did 4 years ago in Green Bay. And the results look as poor as they did at the end of his run at Lambeau Field. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. You can give me a call, 844-204-7424. You can X me, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Coming up an hour from now, we'll take you across the NFL with my pal Nick Ferguson, the former NFL safety, played a decade in the league. Straight ahead, we head back on campus. How much unpredictability should we expect in college football this holiday weekend with all the action and the games that count getting underway tomorrow? We will find out when we check in with Chris Fanini of The Athletic. Always a blast to keep the chair warm for Rich, especially on a holiday. I'm Brian Weber, guest hosting for Rich Eisen here on The Rich Eisen Show.
As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and T-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
Brian Weber back with you. I would give it a Ric Flair woo, but I don't want to blow out my voice with another hour and 20 minutes to go. In for Rich Eisen on this holiday, 844-204-7424. You can X me, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Rich wants you to always be supersized as a audio consumer, so we're live on the holiday. I can demonstrate that in two ways. Updating the score from Ford Field, Lions continue to dictate the terms with a 13-0 lead over the Bears with 4 minutes to go in the first half, and by bringing in an outstanding guest. Let's talk college football with Chris Fanini of The Athletic, and outstanding production by our technical producer, Curtis. If you're into the world of the squared circle, Chris is big in the wrestling space. He's also the co-host of the Getting Over Wrestling podcast. Chris, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I am doing well. Just sitting here watching my Detroit Lions play extremely well football right now.
Now, Chris, I did not know that, and I'm 55 years old, so I'm older than my enthusiastic delivery would suggest. My opening monologue was a reflection of not only the current renaissance of the Lions, but the decades of futility in Motown. What were your earliest memories of being a Lions fan?
Yeah, I grew up in the suburbs of Detroit. My first memory is going to a game at the Silverdome, to see Barry Sanders. I was a little kid. I don't remember anything other than getting a plastic bobblehead that I brought home. But it really is decades and decades of futility. Up until last year, they had won one playoff game in my dad's lifetime. And so, I mean, 3 years ago today, they were on a 15-game winless streak. So, like, this really has come so quickly.
Chris, I know you're busy with your college assignments and what you do in wrestling. If you want a feature idea, I've worked in the past with both Rodney Peet and Eric Kramer. I got phenomenal Wayne Font stories. If you could track down Wayne and people who know him, the fact that that guy survived for as long as he did is just incredible.
Yeah. There was a lot of Lions coaches like that. If anybody has watched the Barry Sanders documentary, I think it was on Amazon, did a really good job at looking at the 90s Lions, which is really the best period for the team since the 50s, and it wasn't even that good of a period, so it just kind of tells you what the Lions have been like.
Well, that is a positive story. Now, I'm not trying to be a contrarian. I'm not ripping off Skip Bayless, but here's my thought on college football, which I love even more than the NFL. I had some apprehension about the 12-team playoff because I figured it would be filled with the Big Ten and SEC, and that's an obvious conclusion. Let me give you that as my preface and then ask you, did you have any major disagreements with how the rankings played out on Tuesday?
I mean, nothing all that big that may not work itself out. Miami at number 6 seemed too high to me. I would have them behind Georgia. I think SMU and Miami should be closer. SMU maybe should be higher. Clemson at 12, not in the field, but higher than they should be right now. But I think everything else is pretty much okay. Indiana dropped. Three SEC teams and the others fell out because they lost over the weekend. So I think it's okay right now, but we're going to have another big weekend that's going to shake things up again.
Yep, and then followed by the conference championship game. So a lot still to be determined. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen, talking college football with Chris Vanini of The Athletic. Chris, it's fair to, if we're talking Texas, heading into the renewal of the rivalry with Texas A&M, poke holes at the Longhorns resume saying, what's their best win? And it's clearly Vanderbilt. If I countered that in the Big Ten, what is Penn State's best win?
Illinois, who is ranked 23rd right now, and that was a game that was a one-score game until very late. So, yeah, Penn State lacking big wins, just like Notre Dame was. But Penn State does have a 7-point loss to Ohio State. They were competitive in that game. That's kind of what they're hanging everything on. But they're a team that is always – they handle the games they're supposed to handle, and they don't win the games they're not supposed to win. And that's a really – unusual team to kind of figure out what to do.
And that's the James Franklin MO, unfortunately. Great winning percentage. You know his record head-to-head against Ohio State and Michigan. Let's get to the SEC conundrum on a big word Thursday. Dan Wetzel, I have a lot of respect for him, and he laid out a straightforward case that the SEC could wind up with two bids. I just can't see it happening, understanding the scenario that he laid out. What do you think is the realistic number, realizing a lot could change in terms of what happens on the field between now and the final selections?
Well, the SEC could take more hits. I mean, if Tennessee loses to Vanderbilt, that's going to hurt. Georgia Tech, you know, there's a chance. Georgia Tech's not a bad team.
No, they beat Miami, happens, obviously.
Like there's chances for stuff to happen. If Texas A&M beats Texas, who knows where Texas falls to? Texas is a team that doesn't have any good wins either. So the SEC is not guaranteed three bids.
No, they're not. But Chris, we know the committee. Yeah. The committee has had a clear, in my mind, SEC lean. I won't say bias. They have found a way to get SEC teams in the past when they had a 4-team bracket.
Well, I mean, there's only three. There's more Big Ten teams than SEC teams.
No, I understand. I think it's going to be 4 Big Ten and 3 SEC, in my opinion. You think it's 3 or you want to reserve judgment?
I think it's going to be 3. I don't see a 4th getting in there. I think they'll win enough. The games they need to win, they'll win. They'll end up with 3. The committee this week seemed to really like the ACC, which kind of surprised me. With Miami being as high as it is and Clemson being just on the outside, it's a spot now where if Clemson beats South Carolina, there's an outside chance they jump Indiana to potentially get a third ACC team in the field.
Which is fascinating. We're talking college football with Chris Vanini of The Athletic. Chris, I'm glad you brought up the Clemson-South Carolina game. Let me flip that, because you know Shane Beamer's team is one of the hottest in all of football. Three losses, Ole Miss, and then the tight losses to Alabama and LSU. What if the Gamecocks blow out Clemson on the road? What happens to South Carolina?
The committee could move them up. I don't think they should, because they would have to jump Ole Miss and Alabama, both of whom beat South Carolina. Ole Miss did it handily. And so that's where South Carolina is a much improved team. They're a good team. They've been a fun team. I just don't see a path to the playoff if you're going to be 9-3 and jumping Alabama and Ole Miss. Now, if Alabama loses Auburn, maybe things can get a little weird again. I find it really, really hard for South Carolina to get a path to the playoff.
Got one more scenario for you, and it was discussed in length on the ESPN show on Tuesday. What is the likelihood that Boise State winds up as a higher-ranked conference champion than whomever emerges from the Wild Big 12?
It's pretty good at this point, because Boise State has Oregon State this week, and if they win that, they'll play UNLV in the Mountain West Championship, most likely. They're a top 25 team, and if you get another win there, that's going to keep Boise State pretty high. I mean, they're, 10th or 11th right now? And that was, they I think, moved up a spot after barely beating a two-win Wyoming team. So the committee has not been penalizing Boise State for their struggling performances over the last couple of weeks, and that's kept them in a really good spot where the Big 12 champion, whoever it is, Arizona State, BYU, Iowa State, they're pretty far below Boise in the rankings right now, and I don't know if there's enough time or enough good wins to leapfrog them.
As I mentioned, you are a versatile content creator, co-host of the Getting Over Wrestling podcast. I mentioned this in our last conversation. I'm a recovering wrestling fan, so I get most of my knowledge from nostalgia from the Conrad Thompson podcast empire. Want to ask you, what'd you think of the Mr. McMahon Netflix docuseries?
Thought it was really good. They did a really good job of highlighting a lot of bad things that I think a lot of casual fans may not have remembered, such as the Ring Boy scandal. And after that documentary came out, a new lawsuit was filed against Vince McMahon and Linda McMahon and WWE over that. Look, he's a very, very complicated legacy. And for all the successes that he and WWE have had, the bad parts of Vince McMahon can't be ignored either, especially with the way he left the company, like recently. And so I thought the Netflix documentary did a good job of highlighting how all of that bad stuff is going to be part of that legacy as much as the good stuff.
Got a minute left with a possibility now of a presidential pardon, because as you know, Vince is under scrutiny from the Department of Justice. What are the odds that Vince has a comeback, however you define that, because he's got $2 billion?
I do not see him coming back to WWE. He has
no. I agree. Yeah, I think he's a persona non grata. What if he goes out on his own to does something because he wants to have one more chapter?
Yeah, I mean, there was a report recently that he's looking to create what I think is essentially a production studio.
Yeah, maybe a sequel to No Holds Barred. That was so great in the 80s, right?
I don't know who's going to want to work with him in that environment. I mean, his wife, Linda McMahon, has been nominated to again be in Donald Trump's cabinet. You have to wonder the federal investigation into Vince. Does Trump do something about that? I don't know. But the lawsuit against Vince, that is something that isn't going to go away. That's just on pause because of the investigation. I find it hard to believe anybody wanting to be involved with Vince, especially with a lot of this stuff still very much going on and active investigations and lawsuits and all that stuff.
I agree. And in no way am I minimizing the allegations, and people can read the complaint. Horrific thoughts there. But we live in a world in which people who have billions of dollars can find their own path. Chris, I really enjoy reading all your work with The Athletic. I enjoy the podcast as well. I fill in a ton throughout the holidays, so I hope we can reconnect when we get to the games that matter next month.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to some college football this weekend and the playoff to come.
And go Lions. 16-0 now the score with the two-minute warning. Thank you, Chris. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Chris Vanini does great work. Check it out at The Athletic. And if you like wrestling, I'm self-reporting. Now, I have not watched a match. on live TV since Stone Cold walked away. Stone Cold! Stone Cold! But if you have any questions about the one-man gang or the missing link, pick up the phone, 844-204-7424. Wildfire Tommy Rich ain't walking through that door. As I mentioned, all Lions now with 2 minutes to go in the first half. And you have the lavish halftime show with Detroit. Only Kid Rock has the time to do it. He's busy these days. Lions pounding the Bears, still with the shutout intact, 16-0. Jared Goff, 126 passing yards and a touchdown pass to Sam Laporta. I'll keep you updated when things get cooking again. In the final hour of the program, which we're kicking off, getting you set for Tua and the Dolphins on the road at Lambeau Field. Final hour straight ahead. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.